Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Churning of the Milk Ocean, text number 18. Stana dravyam chati krosdari samang narantarang chandana kumkumokshitam tatas tato nupara vagu sinjitar visarpati hema nativa sa babhau tanantavyang chit Stana dravyang chati krasodari samang narantarang chandana kumkumoksitam. Tatastato nupura vagu sanjitar Visarpati hema lateva sababhau Stana dravyang chitti krasostari samang Narantarang chandana kumkumoksitam Tatastato nupura vagu sanjitar Visarpati hema lateva sababhau. Matajis. Hastana Devyam, her two breasts. Cha, also. Ati, Kris Udari, the middle portion of her body being very thin. Samam, equally. Narantaram, constantly. Chandana Kumkuma, with sandalwood pulp and kumkum, a reddish powder. Uksitam, smeared. Tatatata, here and there. Manupura, of ankle bells. Valgu, very beautiful. Sinjitai, with the light resounding. Visarpati, walking. Himalata, a golden creeper. Eva, exactly like. Sa, the goddess of fortune. Babhau appeared. Translation, her two breasts, which were symmetrical and nicely situated, were covered with sandalwood pulp and kumkum powder, and her waist was very thin. As she walked here and there, her ankle bells jingling softly, she appeared like a creeper of gold. Text 19. Virokayanti niravadyam atmana padang duhangcha yavichari sadgunam gandharvasid hasvara yaksha charana praipis tepe yadushu nandavindata. Translation, while walking among the gandharvas, yakshas, asuras, siddhas, charanas, and denizens of heaven, Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune was scrutinizingly examining them, but she could not find anyone naturally endowed with all good qualities. None of them was devoid of faults, and therefore she could not take shelter of any of them. Purport, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, having been generated from the ocean of milk, was the daughter of the ocean. Thus she was allowed to select her own husband in a Swayamvara ceremony. She examined every one of the candidates, but she could not find anyone suitably qualified to be her shelter. In other words, Narayan, the natural husband of Lakshmi, cannot be superseded by anyone in this material world. So Maharaj covered this somewhat yesterday, so I'm going to go on to the next verse. This is text 20. Nunam tapo yasya namanyu nirjayo jhanam kvachitat jana sangha varjitam kasin mahangstasya nakama nirjaya sa ishvara kim parato. The goddess of fortune, examining the assembly, thought in this way. Someone who has undergone great austerity has not yet conquered anger. Someone possesses knowledge, but he has not conquered material desires. Someone is a very great personality, but he cannot conquer lusty desires. Even a great personality depends on something else. How then can he be the supreme controller? Purport, here is an attempt to find the supreme controller or Ishvara. Everyone may be accepted as an Ishvara or controller, but still such controllers are controlled by others. For example, one may have undergone severe austerities, but still be under the control of anger. By a scrutinizing analysis, we find that everyone is controlled by something else. No one, therefore, can be the true controller but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is supported by the Shastras, Ishvara Parama Krishna. The Supreme Controller is Krishna. Krishna is never controlled by anyone, for He is the controller of everyone. Sarva Karana Karanam. Om Ajnanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namo Mukham Kroti Vajalam Pungam Langhaya Degunam Yat Kripataraham Vandaya Shigurum Dinadharanam Vanchakava Fibhishtya Kripa Sindhu Vyevaja Paditanam Bhavanevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namo Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivastati Gaur Vaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is an interesting verse here. The goddess of fortune is revealing her thoughts here in the Bhagavatam. And the first point is that that someone may be engaged in great austerity, but not conquered anger. And you know, to engage in austerity, this is mode of goodness, samodhamastapasocham. But if one doesn't develop the other qualities along with the austerity, then one can become overwhelmed by anger. There's an example there of Durvasa Muni, very, very austere, but he offended a great devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. So we have to somehow try to develop all the qualities of a Vaishnava, otherwise we can become overwhelmed by material consciousness. Lord Shiva also, he was engaged in great austerities, but then Cupid came and shot his arrow, sex desire, and Lord Shiva became angry and annihilated him. So anger is it's a very difficult thing to conquer, to control. But if we engage in devotional service and develop pure knowledge, then we can conquer this. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, Shradava labhate jnanam tatpara sangyatendriya jnana labdva parangshantim achininandrugachyati. That a faithful person who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who controls the senses achieves such knowledge, and upon achieving such knowledge he attains the highest peace. So first we have to develop this faith in order to get the pure knowledge. And of course this faith is developed by association with those who are faithful. Of course, the most faithful is Srila Prabhupada. So by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we become very faithful. And of course, associating with other devotees, there's so many wonderful devotees that we can associate with and develop this faith and knowledge. So how do we become dedicated to transcendental knowledge? What are some ways that we can be dedicated to transcendental knowledge? Well, one way to be dedicated is by absorbing the knowledge. Prabhupada, so many times he emphasized the importance of reading the books. He was speaking to one couple in I think it was in Mayapur, And there was one devotee there that was listening. Then he got up to leave, and Prabhupada said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, I have to do something." No. Prabhupada said, "You should stay. You should learn." So he stayed for an hour and listening to the preaching. And then the couple left, and Prabhupada said that if you don't learn from me how to preach, how are you going to preach? He said, "You have to read these books, and you have to hear me preaching, and you'll learn. These books are so important. I also read my books." And Prabhupada, "You read your own books?" "Yes, because these are not written by me." And Prabhupada said to him that actually these books are dictated to me. Krishna speaks to me. And the boy's like, "Wow." So these are not ordinary books. It's a great way to increase our faith in Krishna's by reading these books. A couple of days ago I was speaking to Vaisheshika Prabhu. He was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's very much absorbed in reading Prabhupada's books. He said he reads 40 pages a day of Srimad Bhagavatam. And, of course, many of you already know he has the Chad program, Chapter a Day, Bhagavad Gita. So he reads so much, and you can see how the result is so faithful. And he's got such a clear understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So hearing is so important. Cannot be emphasized enough. And then we, from this faith, then we become dedicated. So this, to absorb our mind in hearing this philosophy is one way to become dedicated to this knowledge, and to distribute this knowledge. That's another way to show our dedication to this knowledge, is to give it out. People are looking for this knowledge. I was distributing books yesterday at Santa Monica Promenade. Approached one young man, he said, "Oh, you know, this is so nice. I'm open to this. I want to learn more about life. You know, and this, it's amazing that you approached me." I said, "Yeah, this is all about life. You'll learn so much." So it's very, so many people are getting this knowledge, this transcendental knowledge, and they're getting purified, and their faith in God and Krishna is increasing by this transcendental knowledge. And by absorbing ourselves in this knowledge, then we advance in Krishna consciousness, and we become free of this anger and so many lower qualities. Srila Prabhupada once said that one's greatness has to be estimated by how tolerant one is in provoking situations. So we're all going to be provoked by so many situations that come before our path. So we have to be ready for them. So by taking to Krishna consciousness very seriously, then we could we'll be ready for these tests that come before us. So here the Goddess of Fortune also says that someone may possess knowledge, but he has not conquered material desires. So this is a major problem throughout the world, is that there's so many knowledgeable people, but their senses are not controlled. They can't walk the talk. Even sannyasis and, you know, just like that amazing pastime of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when his spiritual master, Gokishore Das Babaji, passed away. So many of the mutt owners, they wanted Gokishore Das Babaji's body to go to their mutt so they could have a samadhi there, and then so many people would go to their mutt and they would give donations. So many of them were there to take his body. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he heard about this, so he went to the spot. And he said, "I'm the only disciple of Gorkhasura Das Babaji. So I should be the one to take his body. And others were saying, but he's just a brahmachari. But they were all Babajis and sannyasis. And then he made a statement. He said, anybody here who has not had some illicit relationship with a woman in the past year, you can take his body. And he said, 6 months. Anybody here 6 months? He said, 3 months. Anybody here 3 months? That is 1 month. 3 days. Anybody here that has not had some illicit relation with a woman in the past 3 days, you can take it, you can touch his body. Otherwise, don't touch his body. And there was a police constable there, and he said, how are you going to know they're telling the truth? He said, I'll accept their word. And they all walked away with their heads down. So just see, Kali Yuga. So to walk the talk in Kali Yuga is not easy. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada is very powerful. And he made so many great devotees that are following now for decades the process of Krishna consciousness, walking the talk, you know, with the knowledge and living the knowledge. It's like throughout the world there's so many PhDs with so much knowledge, but they don't know how to live their life properly. So we're very fortunate that we have this knowledge and that we have people who are living the knowledge. There's achar and there's prachar. Prachar means that one can speak the philosophy. Achar means one can live. So to live the philosophy and speak the philosophy, this is very rare. So we have to try our best to do this. And Krishna is pleased by this. Of course, Krishna himself, he has so much knowledge. And he's pure. In the Nectar of Devotion, it's stated that there's two different types of purity. One purity is where one is so pure that he doesn't do anything which is impure. And another type of purity is where one is so pure that he is able to purify others. So this is Krishna to an unlimited degree. He is so pure that anybody that just chants his names gets purified. Anybody that reads his words, the absolute truth, gets purified. Anybody that eats food that has been offered to Krishna gets purified. Anybody that sees the deity of Krishna gets purified. It's like this Rath Yatra. It's such an amazing display of the mercy of Krishna. Thousands of people get to see Lord Jagannath with his big eyes. Lord Balaram and Subhadra. So auspicious. Very merciful. So, in the last verse here, the last part of this verse, it's mentioned that Krishna, he is the supreme controller. Nothing moves without his sanction. Therefore, there's a little joke that, you want to see God laugh? Tell him your plans. Because we have our plan, and Krishna, he has his plan. So we have to try to work along with the plan of Krishna. And what is Krishna's plan? He wants to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's why we're here. All the sincere devotees that are following the teachings of Krishna, they know this is the desire of Krishna. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instructed Prabhupada, go to the West and preach this message. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also preaching all over. This Namhat was started by him. Thousands of people were involved in that. So this is the natural result of a sincere devotee is that they want these teachings spread to others. They want others to benefit. They want others to also know that Krishna is the supreme controller. It was nice. I was just listening to a lecture, and Prabhupada was it was a pastime. Harishari remembered of one pastime in Mayapur. Prabhupada was riding at night, and there was these birds that were making a nest, and they were making a lot of racket. So the next morning, Prabhupada told Harishari, you know, these birds, they're making a nest there, and they're making so much noise, maybe you can do something. So when they were gone, he took the nest out, whatever they had made so far, they took it out. He took it out, and then the bird came back and saw there was nothing there, so he went out and came back, and he's putting more dry grass in there to make another nest. So then he flew off to get some more, and Harishai took the grass out again. So he kept on coming back, putting more. The bird kept on putting more. And then Harishai bundled some paper, and he put some paper in the hole there. He couldn't do it. So the bird came back, and he's pecking on the paper, trying to get the paper out. So after an hour, he got the paper out. So then he brought some more dry grass in there. And then Harishari got some more paper, and he crumbled it up even harder, made it very difficult. So the bird came back and said, "Oh, paper again." So he left and came back with a friend. So the two of them were pecking at it. Yeah, for about an hour, they're pecking at it, trying to get the paper out. And they couldn't do it. So then Prabhupada had an interesting reflection on this. He said, "This is like the conditioned soul. They're trying so hard to enjoy this world." Yeah. But actually, he said, "See these birds, these sparrows are so foolish. They can see that the person who's foiling all their attempts are right there, but they're so unintelligent they can't understand that he's foiling all their attempts." So he said, just like the conditioned soul, they're trying to enjoy in so many ways, and Maya's foiling all their attempts, ruining all their attempts to enjoy. But they can't see Maya there, foiling all their attempts, ruining all their attempts to enjoy material life. So Maya's there, ruining all our attempts to enjoy this material world. So we should know that. Don't waste time trying to enjoy this world, because we won't be successful. It's never been successful where anybody was completely satisfied through material enjoyment in this material world. So better not waste time. Better try to please Krishna. Engage in devotional service. This is the real pleasure of the soul. And a couple of days ago, I was listening to a lecture of Prabhupada. I was explaining how Krishna is the supreme controller, and therefore he protects his devotee. There was one Muslim king, who had a servant who was a treasure, Hindu treasure. And this king had so much money. So the treasurer, he decided to build a temple for Krishna, hopefully without the king finding out. So he built this huge temple some distance away from the kingdom. And then the king found out, put him in jail. That night, this king had a dream. Two young boys came to him and said, "You know that treasure you put in jail? Please release him, and we will cover the expense for whatever he's taken." So then he woke up the next morning, and he found all the money that this treasure had taken at the foot of his bed. So the king, he had his treasure released, and he told the treasure, "And you take all this money." He told him the dream. Somehow, I can't understand, but I want you to take this money and just go on. You can stay at the temple and no problem. So that was pretty amazing. So Krishna protects his devotee. And Syamasundara, back in 1968, Prabhupada was in San Francisco. And Syamasundara went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I have to go to jail." And he said, "Oh, why?" In the past, I used to sell drugs. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, yeah, I also used to sell drugs. And as far as going to jail, it's okay. Krishna, he was born in jail." So Prabhupada has all the, you know, transcendental vision. Yeah. And then Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, they'll let you out early. Because you're a good boy, they'll let you out early." And sure enough, they let him out early. So we're also in jail. This is material world. It's a jail. It's a prison. And we were all destined to be in this material world for so long due to our past karma, our past sinful activities. But now, fortunately, we've come under the shelter of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. So we also can get out early. They have a saying at the prisons, you can get out on good time. Get out early on good time. So if we engage our time in engaging in pious, pure activities, devotional service, then we can get out on good time. We can go back early, back to Godhead. But we have to take this human form of life very seriously. Otherwise, who knows, we may have to come back again to this material world. I was just speaking to Hridayananda Maharaj yesterday, and he was saying how miserable this material world is. It's just such a horrible place. Let's not waste time. We've been here too long, wasting time, trying to enjoy this horrible place. So, any question or comment? Yes, the microphone is coming. Soon. Yeah, here.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class.
Thank you.
You mentioned that we will be tested depending on how much tolerance we have in a provoking situation. And at Rath Yatra, I was provoked when a man dressed in a cow suit started yelling, "You think that you're going to heaven just because you're a vegetarian?" He's like, "Let me tell you something. God put animals on this planet for one reason and for one reason only. For them to be eaten."
Oh my God.
And I knew this was really low class, but I just started booing him. And it prevented, I knew that it wasn't the best response, but it was preventing me from doing what I actually wanted to do, which was walk over and punch him in the face. And I'm just wondering what would have been a more optimal response in a situation like that.
Well, you didn't punch him in the face, so that was good. You tolerated that urge. Yeah, the best thing to do with these people is just ignore them. You know, they're just like Jesus said, you hate the sin, not the sinner. They're bewildered by the modes of nature. You know, they're just very much under the mode of ignorance. So it's just the modes of nature. They're just totally moved by the modes of nature, and it's just so really, really under the modes of nature. So you just have to see like that. Just deep down, they're actually eternal servants of Krishna, believe it or not. Everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. Just some people are very, very covered. This is a Kali Yuga. You know. Huh? Yeah, they go and they get purified. They after the festival, they go take prasadam. So somehow they're going to get purified. Yeah. And they're chanting Krishna so much. So they're going to get purified. Yeah, it's inconceivable to us because there's such nonsense. But every year they're getting more and more purified. Yeah. Their next life, because they've chanted Krishna so much, they've planted the seed. Next life, they'll get an opportunity to take the devotional service. I'm sure they don't see that. But according to scripture, they're getting that opportunity in their next life. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
That particular guy in the cow suit has been coming for a long time, at least 15 years, maybe even more. And, so he's going to get... It's a ghastly rasa. It's just like Kamsa. Kamsa was meditating on Krishna all the time, how to kill him, but he could never forget Krishna. So this guy's like that, always meditating on Avarathi Yatra. When is it going to happen so I can come out and chant Krishna's name? But anyway, finally, they were near to the book booth at the end, and then I looked around and they were gone. So I asked some devotees, what happened? Why did they leave? The public made them leave. That's what I was told. A bunch of just regular people just surrounded them and just pushed them out of there and said, get out of here. They got tired of it. They got tired of hearing them saying all these things. They said, we like the Hare Krishnas, just get out of here. And they just forced them to leave.
Yeah, actually, they're doing a service because as far as religions, they make us look good. because they're just chanting and taking prasadam and it's just a joyful festival. And they just look terrible. That's horrible. Yes, Madan Mohan Prabhu?
That also reminded me that one time one of the devotees asked Prabhupada about Lord Jagannath and the Rath Yatra festival, saying that when they see Lord Jagannath, they'll make an offense. Many people not recognizing who he is. So Prabhupada said that the offense is temporary, but the benefit is eternal. So just like you pointed out, you got the 240 verse, no loss or diminution. I call it the ratchet verse. Each time you do something right, it's permanent. So that they're making. And also in Bhagavatam 1.2.16, there's a Shushusho Shatadana. It mentions in the purport that you take on the qualities of who you serve. So we were talking about qualities here, and because most people in the bodily conception of life under the modes of nature, they take on those qualities. But also in Bhagavad Gita 13:19, it says when you come out of that bodily conception of life, you obtain the Krishna's nature, Madhavam. You get Krishna's nature. So that's how.
Yeah, so the more people are connected to Krishna, the more they're chanting the names of Krishna, taking prasad, the more they're getting Krishna eyes. So every year their spiritual bank account is increasing. They're chanting Krishna more and more, taking Krishna prasadam. So it's actually auspicious. Just try to see the good. Yeah, try to see the good things that are happening to them. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing about the punching. I'm not telling you to do this next year, but in 1976 in New York, after the Rath Yatra, Prabhupada was lecturing, and there was one guy who was just heckling like anything. And then this one of our God brothers, I think it was Bhaninath Vasu was his name, tall black devotee, really tall, he was about 6'9". He turned and clocked the guy. He just knocked him, punched him flat. So when Prabhupada got back to the temple, he said, did you see that black devotee hit that guy? Did you see? Prabhupada was pleased.
No. That's not to encourage it in the future.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, every Sankirtan devotee or any devotee who goes out there and tries to convey our message daily and daily, we meet these people. And the conclusion is we shouldn't waste time with them. Like yesterday also, I was in Cal State. And three of those people came. And sometimes they come asking questions and you think, oh, it's interesting. And then they start coming up. And no matter what you tell them, you can come up with the best answer, they still will not accept it. So finally you say, you're wasting my time, I'm wasting your time, please. Just walk away.
Yeah, go ahead.
But in the reading of the verse, there was mentioned that no one can conquer Krishna. And a thought came to my mind, you know, everybody knows, that everybody is running after Krishna, but he's running after Radharani. In other words, devotional service can conquer Krishna. Devotee can conquer Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
Can you speak a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. Krishna's conquered by so many devotees. Mother Yasoda, Nandamara says, bring my shoes. So he goes and brings the shoes for Nandamara. There's God. He's carrying shoes. So many ways Krishna, he's conquered. It's mentioned, he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure love and devotion. And this is why, one of the reasons why it's not easy to attain pure love for Krishna. Because once that pure love for Krishna is there, Krishna's conquered. He's controlled by his devotee's love. So he's not going to be controlled by just anybody. You know, we have to have unalloyed, pure loving desire to serve Krishna before he'll give that. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.